That is the Living Arts Department of Stepping Stone. Thank you very much for the ministry that you do. And in their behalf, thanks to church for your support to our college and career group. It is now 12:30. Normally, at this point in time, it is about to close the worship service. But I understand that most of you had a good breakfast, so we shouldn't have a problem this morning. And to those of you who may not have a good breakfast, you know, in Christianity, there is also a word that is called sacrifice. So either way, amen to that. Yes? That's what I like it. You know, it is good to see you. This morning, the Lord has a special blessing for us coming from His Word. And knowing that is His Word, it would require His blessing in order for us to truly appreciate it and to learn from it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you have provided for us to learn from your Word. And you as our teacher and as our guide, help us that we may learn. And at the same time, we have the heart of willingness to be transformed, that your words will become alive as it is, alive and active in our daily walk with you as a people of God. And in unison we say the word, amen and amen. Well, today we are wrapping up our emphasis for the month of September, which is the Christian Education Month. So far, the Lord bless us with the importance of biblical instruction in relation to spiritual decline. And at the same time, as we deal with false teaching as presented in the first Sunday, and also the heresy coming from our text, which was 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then it was followed in Hosea chapter 4, where it gives us warning and the perils of lack of the knowledge of God. And the sad news was that it was an ignorant by choice. That was the case in the previous text. And today we are blessed with another wonderful text in Hebrews chapter 4, which is also related to the previous chapter, chapter 3, which deals with the Word of God in addressing with the problem of the people God in the Old Testament who did not pay attention to God's commands. And the greatest sin that they had was, it was the sin of unbelief. That was the case. And the reality is that these days, we are surrounded by the same realities and more. That is why there is always the great need for all of us to double our effort in relation to Christian education in order for us to be equipped. In fact, the Bible did say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, what it is for, and then it concludes by saying that the Word of God, it is good for everything, in correction, in teaching, in making one spiritual, because it is for him to be thoroughly equipped for righteousness, to do works for the Lord, and that was the case. And so the Word of God also assures us, and at the same time, it prepares us for Christian service and worship. So this morning, may I invite everyone to turn your Bibles to our text in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, in our text, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than two-edged sword. It penetrates into dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now you see the word for in the beginning of this text is in relation to the previous passages starting at chapter 3. And in particular, it was read to us by our MC in Psalm chapter 95, beginning at verse 7 all the way to verse 11. It was used by the writer of the book of Hebrews in order for his listeners to be reminded the consequences of the people of God disobedience to him. There was lack of confidence. There was great sin of unbelief to the promise of God. You know, with all of the group of people in holy history, in my humble opinion, this is the group of people who had seen and experienced the many great revelation of God, and at the same time, the many miracles that was performed. We see that in Exodus, the book of Exodus. There were great seven actions of God, beginning of hearing the condition of God's people and acting upon it. Great seven actions of God if you're going to look at the book of Exodus. And at the same time, it is the same book which tells us and gives us the 10 plagues, exposing the greatness of God against those who oppose Him. And on top of that, God displayed to the people of Israel during that point in time when He departed the Red Sea, the biggest aquarium was displayed to man. Left and right, they could see what it is there in Red Sea, and in between is dry ground. How is it that with all of those great things, there was so much unbelief? It is almost unbelievable, isn't it? Now, when the writer of Hebrews gave this particular text, it was relevant to those who are the recipients, because the recipients of the book of Hebrews were Jewish community. And Bible scholars would say it was written by a Jewish guy, none other than the Apostle Paul, and I tend to believe. Now, you see, our text contains admonition and at the same time warning that tells us that if we are not careful, we could basically do the same thing. Would you believe that? That is why there is a great need for us to put high regard and to have a firm conviction about the Word of God. Because it declares that it is active and alive. It is a wonder book. Amen to that? You know, if you go to the biggest library in Toronto, for example, you would find more than 10 million books. And the biggest library in the world happened to be in Britain, that has more than 170 million references and commentaries inside. But with all of the books displayed in all of the libraries in the world, there is only one book in there, and I hope it is there, and it separates from the rest. The rest of the books are good for education. The rest of the books are very informative and great references. But it is not constantly active, alive, and relevant to all ages. For those of you who've recently graduated from university, if you go back to your school, the textbook that you have used is no longer the same value. If you're going to sell it, you're not going to get 100%. To those of you who have the same age as me, almost double the 30, our books when we were young is no good. Can you imagine? What is there for the new generation to study Pepe and Pilar? There is nothing anymore. There is revisions after revisions. But time and time again, the Bible declares itself that it is worth more than any of the books being displayed and studied upon. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, for example. The works of the Word of God is beyond comprehension. Isaiah 55:11 reads, "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void. It will always accomplish what it is purposed for. And it will always prosper for all its worth." That's what it says. It is so strong that it makes someone, the bent is straight like a hammer, as declared by Jeremiah. And many other references in the Bible where it says that God's word is alive. You cannot contain it in a box. Never you will be able to. When Jesus Christ was teaching about himself and the ministry that he is doing in the midst of his disciples and those who were around and always around, he made one declaration when he says, God's word is life. Because it brings life. Amen to that? You know, God's word is not a simple compilation of statements or an avenue of communication or instruction. It is beyond that. It is way beyond that. It is a changing and transforming tool that the Lord had put together into one piece. You know, the interesting part of the history is this. That there are many personalities whom you and I know and not know through the ages who have persecuted and had opposed the Bible to the greatest degree. But eventually, many of them have found themselves to be affected and affected by the same book that they have ridiculed. They were influenced and they were consummated by the very word of God. They had been a changed person, and to some of them, they died for the Bible. I'm not asking you this morning to die for the Bible. If the Lord tells you to die for the Bible, that is your choice. That is your choice. Isn't it true that the very reason why you are here today is because the word of God had changed you? Had impacted you? That instead of sleeping in this morning, the word of God tells you today is a Sunday, a day of worship. That instead of going out there for a wholesome activity, you are here today because you know that there should be time for everything, as the Bible declares. There is time to go out and there is time to worship. That's why you are here today. You are a different person because of the word of God was presented to you. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was presented to you, at one point in time, you had no clue that the Bible declares that every one of us have come fall short of the glory of God. That we were born sinner to this world. We did not become sinner as the Bible declares because we commit sin against God. And we do, and we will still do until we die. We became sinners because we are born sinners. And because someone cared enough to tell you that there is this person who came from heaven in Philippians chapter 2 by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you, who was buried on the ground and rose again on the third day, so that you and I will be forgiven from sin and we will have eternal life. God enabled you and me to recognize the need of a Savior. And He had helped you to say that prayer that you have accepted Christ, recognizing and putting your belief, the need of Christ, and forgiveness from sin. And after that is the life that you and I live as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, in his priestly prayer, he says that the Word of God is important for us as believers in the Lord. When he says to the Father, Father, please sanctify the people of God by the truth. And your word is truth. And nothing less. You know, as believers in the Lord, your conviction to the Bible, as we call it, that it is alive and active, matters a lot. It could either make you or break you. We see that in the entirety of the Bible. Therefore, the Bible cannot be taken for granted or taken easily. And there are reasons for that. The first reason is that our text says that the Word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. Now, the metaphor depicts or illustrates that the Word of God is a sharp tool. During those times, the soldier has two swords, the one that is long and the one that is short on the side. It's a dagger. So this particular text speaks about the dagger, and they were saying that it could range from 6 inches all the way to 18 inches long. Well, not like that, about this. And it is to be used primarily to cut a specific target. You see, during those times, the soldiers are wearing a special attire. They have great shields and all of those. But there's a gap in between that they could use that for. But in our text, it's different, way different, although it's telling us that the Word of God is so powerful that it will accurately address your need as a person. And there was one physical example when that particular sword was used in the Bible even. Remember Apostle Peter in Mark chapter 14? When the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Apostle Peter who used the small sword and cut the ear of the servant of the high priest. It was the same type. But what is the point of this sharp knife? Is it to expose you and to leave you wounded and to kill you? That is not the point here. That is not the point here at all. It is used to embarrass you. No, that is not the point. The point here is that for you to get healing. That is the point here. You see, sin is a bad disease. It is like a cancer. And for the young people, it's like the computer virus. If you do not address it early and accordingly, it will destroy you. It will corrupt you. Sin will surely corrupt you, and eventually it will destroy you. That is why one of the many purposes of the Word of God, it is used for healing. Would you turn your Bible to Psalm 107 verse 20? Or your electronic devices? Where it says, He sent word and healed them. That is the declaration of God's word. God sent forth His word and the people who were sick was healed. And then after that, the text is telling us that they were delivered from destruction. This is the power of the Word of God. It brings forth healing and deliberation. Would you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22? Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22. It says, My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to what? Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Isn't the writer of the book of Hebrews just echoed the message of this particular text? And secondly, our text tells us, verse 12, the second half, it penetrates even to the divining soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Let me ask you, who really knows you or me? It can't be the person sitting next to you. I mean, really know you. Is it your mother or your father? Is it your spouse? You know, your wife knows you to a great extent, but she cannot know you fully. On the other hand, the husband can read the wife and would say, "Honey, I see you wear the same clothes more often. I believe it is time for me to bring you to shopping." Isn't that great news, wives? Well, what about if it is her favorite attire? She just likes to wear it again and again. But then again, the wife could always say, "Shopping is good." Yes? Nagising yung mga mother. You know, the Word of God says it is sharp and powerful that it could search the very core of yourself, of your being. It discerns the thoughts that is coming from your minds and from your heart, whether it is for the Lord or against, whether it is good or bad. And that is the case here. That is why one of the many great purposes of the Word of God is to search you that you and I may please God. To let us know the wrong things that we have done in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is spent at least 2 chapters in the book of John, chapters 14 and 16, to let us know that the Word of God through the aid of the Holy Spirit will remind you, will help you to be convicted of the wrong things that is happening to you. And the things that you cannot remember, the Spirit will bring into your remembrance. That is the text of John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. And when you have come to your senses and realize that you have made a mistake, it is still God, through His Word, to tell you that it requires forgiveness and repentance. The learning and the recognition not to repeat the same mistake again. Because one of the great purposes of the Word of God is to restore you and me. The Word of God is a great builder. You know, in the last 15 years, there are many condominiums being built in the greater Toronto area. The closest one is 20 yards, not even, just behind us, between a gorge, is a condominium. And you know what that condominium was? It was a religious school. And some of the condominiums in Greater Toronto used to be a church building used by vibrant church. Can you imagine that? And this is the sad trend. This is the sad trend these days. There are more condominium buildings than putting up a church. In fact, the church is being kicked out in the buildings. At school, you can't do Bible study anymore, and many other. But don't get me wrong, especially to those who live in condominium. Good for you. It's great to live in a condominium. It has many privileges. But the alarming thing is that the number of churches that are being closed. And within the 500 yards from where you and I sit and stand are two churches closed down in the last 25 years. In Spadina and Bloor, in Bathurst and Lennox. Two. And there are many more churches. If you came to Canada if you came 50 years ago in Canada, if you're going to drive from Maine subway station all the way to Royal York subway station, what do you think you will see? What you will see is churches left and right. There's still a good number of them still being there. But the truth of the matter is that there are more being closed down. The question is, what do you think were the reasons? Well, I believe with all of my heart that one of the main reasons is that they have forgotten about the commands that were written in the Word of God. The lack of love for the Lord, the lack of sharing the gospel to your neighbors, relatives, and friends, and schoolmates. In other words, the disobedience. You know, for those of you who may not be aware, this building that you are inside and using used to be a synagogue. It was used by the Jewish community, as still there are many Jewish community in the area. This was a synagogue. And after that, there were the Salvation Army food bank. And then after that is the First Filipino Baptist Church. Now, it would be heartbreaking, and God forbid, that our building will be a condominium one day. Well, you can say no right now, but it could happen, yeah? Can you imagine? FFBC, First Filipino Baptist Condominium. Well, if you and I are not careful, if you and I will not submit to this, that is what's going to happen. I am not a prophet, but it could happen if we are not careful with this. But I am happy and blessed to submit to you that our church building here is a church inside the building and a Bible Institute. Praise God that we are not closing down, but instead we are planting another church. Amen. Yes. And it also blesses my heart that the people who have gone for the outreach is composed of many committed individuals who submitted to this, and there are those, a good number, who have graduated from our Bible Institute, and still there are many members within the group who are studying in our Bible Institute. Why am I very particular on this? I am not here to be proud about it, although to a certain degree I am. But the point is, when you have this group of people, what will take place is stability. A greater percentage of stability. If you want any given church to be stable, then use this. And of course, the result would be the spiritual growth and expansion. Anyone who does not read the Bible for the way it's designed, a divine design, will go for destruction. And anyone who do otherwise will be a blessing and a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that our church plant will take one of the condominiums in the GTA and turn it into a place of worship. It is a great and big dream, but dream big. God is greater and bigger than all of the dreams in the world. Now, in conclusion, would you please turn your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Psalms? Anyone who would put high value to the word of God is like the man. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the man who delights and meditates day and night in the word of God is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season. And whatever he does prospers. May this be our continuous desire and activities. For when we do that, there is no closing down. No closing down. And I hope that there are many more in the future. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for reminding us the importance of the Word of God and what it is designed for and what we should do about it. I pray that we will be intentional and at the same time humble enough to recognize that if we want to be a blessing and be blessed, there has to be the great effort in spending time and in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. May I invite everyone to join me in standing at this